Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Kryptonite is a coming-of-age drama about Peppino, an innocent 9-year-old boy from a dysfunctional family in Naples in the 1970s who's thrown into the counterculture there by his young aunt and uncle. It was the opening film at Toronto's first annual Italian Contemporary Film Festival and was the first film directed by the noted Italian novelist, screenwriter, and translator, Ivan Cotroneo. And I'm very happy to be speaking today by telephone from Toronto. Hi, Ivan.
Hello, hi. I am very happy.
So tell me, Ivan, are you Peppino?
Well, no, not actually. I think that every writer, in a way, writes something that's very autobiographical, even when characters are very apparently very distant from him or from her. In this case, I took some pieces of my childhood in Naples in the 70s. So the story about mother of Peppino and his father are fictional, but the setting and in particular the relationship between Peppino and his aunts, with his aunts and uncles, they are quite autobiographical because they had very young uncles and very young aunts who took me out and made me see how the 70s were in Naples.
So those scenes that Peppino goes through with his aunt and uncle, those are based on your own memories?
Yeah, quite, yes. I mean, they are fictionalized, but
of course.
Yes, in a way, I loved them because they were younger than my parents. They wore strange dresses. They kissed each other in a strange way. They did things that I could not tell back home. Everything was a secret. Everything was like magic. And so I tried to recreate that kind of atmosphere. How, for a kid, can be so fascinating the world of young adults?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Peppino seemed to look at his the various adults, the aunts and the uncles, as almost if they're superheroes or gods or goddesses. He thinks of Gennaro as a Superman, or he presents himself as Superman, even though he dies in an accident. So I'm wondering, Gennaro, the name itself, Gennaro, is that the two-faced god Janus?
No, not actually. Gennaro is a very popular name in Naples.
Oh, okay.
But Gennaro, for me, it becomes in the beginning of the movie when he dies. In reality, he becomes like a kind of imaginary friend for Peppino.
Right.
Peppino is an only child, and he feels himself in a way like he's excluded from everything. Yes, very difficult relationship with his schoolmates. His mother is not well. His father is too superficial to take care of him. So he finds comfort in making this kind of rebirth. The kid Gennaro, who actually dies in reality, comes back in his imagination as the superhero who can help him through this coming of age.
And Gennaro says to Peppino that he should be proud of his differentness. Except for the glasses he was wearing, how is Peppino different from the other boys?
Well, he's much more. He's not bully like his friends. He probably has something that puts him in a different way. When he's born in the movie, everybody keeps on saying that he's ugly. He's a kid with relationship issues, and he feels different. He feels that he's more melancholic and more. Feels different from his schoolmates, but what I wanted to stretch in that part of the movie was that even a superhero can tell you, like in this tale, that your life can be acceptable only if you accept that you are different from everyone else and that your differences are a value, not something you should be ashamed of.
Right. Kryptonite. That's the tell the movie, but it's also the substance that can weaken even the strongest superhero, Superman himself. So, Ivan, as a first-time director making the movie, what was your kryptonite? What did you have to avoid?
My kryptonite was the same kryptonite I have as a writer, the fear that no one else is interested in the stories I want to tell. When someone, I mean, my job is job of telling stories, so there is no greater fear than not being listened to, that have no audience, have no readers. So I want to tell a story to make people laugh, to make people think, but also to touch people. And so my greatest fear like writing for myself and shooting movies that I just see by myself. And every time that I have an audience, like in this case with the opening of the festival, I can see and listen to people laughing and being touched by my character, by my stories, I'm happy.
Well, yes, well, it was a very funny and interesting and moving film as well. Peppino has a vivid imagination, which the film portrays almost literally. And his school teacher tells her class one day that they have three mothers, the mom, the Virgin Mary, and her, the teacher. But one by one, over the course of the movie, they fall from grace, and Peppino loses his trust in each of them, family, church, and state, if you will. So yes. Could you say this is a symbol of that whole generation?
No, I would say this is part of his past, of his coming of age past. I mean, in the beginning, he feels he's very protected. He's protected by his mother, by his school teacher, and by the Virgin Mary. And step by step, he understands that he can even be protected, but he have to deal by himself. He have to find his own way to go through his difficulties. And in a way, his imagination saves him. And the last to leave kind of Imperium is the Virgin Mary, who is left by herself, and like she shrugs, like saying, "What can I do for you? I'm left here all by myself. Now it's your turn to do something." It's not so much a criticism; it's an idea of you can become adult. You can pass the line without dealing with yourself and without learning a little bit how to walk on your own.
So it's his maturation.
Yes,
his becoming mature.
Yes, like the shadow line.
Right. Well, Kryptonite is the first film you directed, but you've written other movie scripts, such as I Am Love, about a woman played by Tilda Swinton, an outsider marries into a rich family in Milan, and Loose Cannons, about Tommaso, played by Riccardo Scomarcio, who's a young gay writer in Rome who finds himself trapped working in his southern family, their pasta factory. So Kryptonite, I Am Love, Loose Cannons, all of these use your families as a center. What is it about the family that plays such a large role in your writing?
It's strange. It's something that I realized after doing this movie. And in Italy also I did some very popular series, TV series, and they all revolve around family. I think that family is kind of, it's very interesting working on the family issues, because in a way they reflect everything that happens in the society. So you can talk about very important arguments that the issues that are interesting for me, diversity, love, acceptation, betrayal, and everything. And you can do it. You can do in a way that's very strict. When something happens to your brother, your son, your sister, your father, it's like in a narrative sense, it can be much more interesting. So I try to use family as a mirror of the society they live in. So they can be like very wealthy families, like the one in I Am Love. And so I try through them to depict the capitalism of the society, or a very very conservative family, like the family of Tommaso and Loose Cannons. And so I try to show how a family can be stressed by the changes in the society, and how it can be easily for a father to say, okay, I accept homosexuality when it happens out of my family. Suddenly, when things happen in the family, everything is much more, for me, it's much more interesting. It's in a way the idea that was in the original script. It's just to say, one of the movie based on a family kind of movement, like in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
You're Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
That kind of story, because suddenly it's your daughter that's coming to dinner with a black guy, not because it's something happening in the society, but something happening in your family. And that's the way to talk about what's happening in society, but through very close relationships.
You come from Naples yourself, and Kryptonite is set there. The locations are gorgeous, really, really beautiful. And I understand the people in the movie all speak in the distinctive local dialect. But I don't know very much about Naples. What other aspects of the movie are distinctly or peculiarly Neapolitan? What about the story was especially Neapolitan?
The kind of family, I would say, it's an Italian family. It's set in Naples, but it could happen in every part of Italy. There is a kind of irony that I think it's peculiar from Naples, and also the music that you can hear in the movie is a mix of like very classical hit from 70s like David Bowie or Iggy Pop, and then there are some Italian or Neapolitan singer like Peppino Di Capri. So the idea is that at the beginning of the 70s everything was mixed, and you could sit with your family at Sunday for your classical brunch, and you could listen to the match at the radio, and then suddenly go to take drugs and have wild parties in the night. So the idea of this Neapolitan English mix was very interesting for me. I would say that the music is very peculiar. The kind of family that in the movie, I would say it's an Italian family, not so much Neapolitan. And what's peculiar is about the way the city is. The city, Naples, the city, they can be. Some neighbors are very ancient. They are there from the 17th century, and suddenly there are like there is an architecture that was from 60s and 70s. That's very interesting. So when they dance, the Sirtaki dance in the movie, they are suddenly in a city that looks completely different from the more little streets where Peppino lives.
Did you add the soundtrack to the movie after it was written, or did you know what the music would be before you shot it?
No, the script was the script with the song in the script. I mean, I knew I had to have that song, so I used the music as a narrative part of the movie. So I when I was with my screenwriters, I thought that I wanted that song by Mina to tell the story of Rosaria, who suddenly feels alone and by herself and shattered because she's cheated on, and that I wanted the Life on Mars by David Bowie when in there is the final imagination of Peppino. So for me, the idea that music was in the script, was in the scene, and for me that was also a key to explain everyone that was involved in the movie, and especially the producers, that I needed that song especially. And when I shoot the scenes, I shoot that scenes with the music. When there is Valeria Golino, Rosaria, who is walking by herself in the night, and she's sad, and there is this very popular Italian song by Mina, Quando ero piccola, I had the song on the set, and we had like speakers, so she could walk according to the music.
So when the film was shot, you actually played the music so the actors could hear it?
Yes. When they danced, but also when there is this long walk by Valeria Golino, I wanted for her to walk in that attitude. I wanted to see how the shot was with the music. And so she walked in a way feeling that in that mood. And for me, it was very important to have the speakers on the set and people from the neighbors. Was nice. They were very patient with us because we went on with this loud music on till, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, people from Naples can be very nice, and so they helped us to shoot that scene.
So, in general, did you shoot using microphones, or was it made the dialogue mainly dubbed in afterwards?
No, it's everything is the original. I mean, we just dubbed something when we had some problem, like
we had
wind, or if we had something that was. It did not go well during the shooting, but otherwise nothing is up.
Oh, well, no, it came out flawless.
Yeah, but they had the great job of post-production, and they had a very good sound editor, Silvia Morales.
I have a question about Italian film in general. I know you've done some translations, but when voices are dubbed from foreign movies into Italian, I wonder what dialects they use for people. Like, what would someone like Samuel Jackson What dialect would he be speaking in Pulp Fiction?
That's very interesting. I must say that I try to see every time I can movies in original, not dubbed, because I'm not such a fan of dubbing. I mean, I want to listen to actors the way they speak, and then so I think that I can appreciate their interpretation just if I see them in original. And the idea is, of course, that every time that there is something that is like slang or it sounds specifically from a region, for us it's impossible to understand, and that's the reason why I try not to see dubbed film when I am in Italy.
Right. Finally, you've completed your first film as a director. Do you want to continue in this path as a director, or return to your writing, or keep both options open? What are your future?
I would like to do both, because I like to work with other directors and help them, and help movies from other directors to express themselves. I mean, I like a lot to stay by a director's side and help him to express his own vision of the world, so, as I did with Luca Guadagnino, with Ferdinand Ozpetek, or with Maria Soletognasti. And for me, it's a way to participate to a work that is collective, like the like movies. But I also can't wait to be a second-time director. So when I finished my movie, I finished also a script that's been shot in these days in Italy. It's called Viaggio Sola, and Maria Soletognasti, the director, has shot it.
Could you repeat that title again?
Yes, Viaggio Sola.
And how would you translate it?
Travel by myself.
Oh, okay.
And
is it based on one of your novels? Or?
No. It's an original script that I wrote with Maria Soletognasti and Francesca Marciano. Francesca Marciano is a writer and a screenwriter. She's been also published in the U.S. with she had novels like Rules of the Wild, that were quite good success in U.S. too. And so I like working for other directors, but at the same time, I can't wait to go again on the set and shoot my second movie. I also know that I could do this time because I felt very close to the story, to the material, and I had lot of time to get ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that soon I can direct my second movie, but also I know it cannot be tomorrow morning, because I am very accurate, so I need to rehearse a lot. I need to speak with cinematographer, the costume designer, with everybody that's involved, and try to explain what I want to do. And that's a process that requires time. I try in a way I would like to continue telling stories my way, so writing novels, writing scripts for other directors, and directing movies by myself.
Well, I'm looking forward to see what will come from your second movie.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for speaking with me, Ivan.
Thank you so much for you. Thanks.
I've been speaking with Ivan Cotroneos in Toronto with his new film Kryptonite for the Italian Contemporary Film Festival. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.